Welcome to Freedom of Mind, where there's no filter for self-expression and an open-minded approach on popular culture.
Welcome to Freedom of Mind. Silence. Okay. Damn it.
We here.
Okay, who we got? I'm Ray Will.
Alba.
It's your boy Kels from here.
There we go, man. You normally y'all hear Luisito loud ass. And we ain't got him right now. But he'll be back shortly, y'all. So all right, this episode we're gonna talk about best fighters. And I thought of that because of Alva. Alva's an inspiring fighter, right?
Yes, sir.
Get him.
Get him.
I love that shit. I love to fight. It's like something about it.
Speak up,
especially
man.
Organized fighting. I love organized fighting with people who are, knowledgeable about it and aren't. I mean, I'm not going to say not trying to hurt each other, because of course we're trying to hurt each other, but not to the point where you can't compete again, I guess, you know.
It's like, business, right?
Yeah, it's a business thing from my point of view. And it's just fun. Like, I don't know. It's fun. Shit.
Right. So.
Ray Will's history lesson.
We're going to go over a little history. Ray Will's history lesson. And serving do things. Let's see here.
Neanderthals used to fight.
Did they?
Man, that's what they're
fighting. Taking a bone and hitting each other with a bone.
Bruh, they did autopsies on some of those motherfuckers, and they all had distinctive markings on their head. And some of it was confusion between like when they catch a prey or whatever they do, that they were actually fighting one another to get the product. Do you know what I'm saying?
So was like competition going on?
That's what paleontologists had mm-hmm. expected, because they all had distinctive like crack marks in their skull, the Neanderthals. So it'd been fighting's been around long before us. It'll be around long after us, you feel me?
No doubt. Right. Let me read a little bit of something. So we just have something based off of, right? The earliest evidence for specifics of martial arts as practiced in the past comes from depictions of fights, both in figurative art and in early literature, besides analysis of archaeological evidence, especially of weaponry. The oldest work of art depicting scenes of battling, dated back 3400 BC, was an ancient Egyptian painting showing some form of struggle, dating back to 3000 BC in Mesopotamia, Babylon. Reliefs in the poems depicting struggle were found. In Vietnam, drawings and sketches from 2879 BC describe certain ways of combat using sword, stick, bow and spears. Just a little basic something, right? So they mentioned ancient Egypt. That's one of the first places you would think of, obviously Babylon. They got to throw Europe in there, right? And then they do a little bit of Asia in there. So, right, so we got that little going all the way.
It's crazy. I got a little bit of all of those. In
there. Right.
Speak your mind.
And but that's just them showing evidence of people fighting and all that or whatever. And I like what you kind of brought up, Alva, with competition, conflict, politics. Trying to get food, you know, surviving, right? That kind of made me think of
and that was
Mad Max, you know what I'm saying? Where it's just every man for himself, scrapping, and, you know, that they just fighting for survival.
And back in them days, the women also had them same distinctive markings on their skulls. So they said that if women were going out to catch prey as well, that they were probably battling one another the same way the men did. You know, it's just two female Neanderthals going at it instead of two men, you know, which was fucking... Imagine that, nigga. Imagine that type of fight. Like, you feel me? Your fucking skull is going to be broken right now, and it's going to heal, and you're going to live through it, and we're going to fight again, probably. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, the probability of that happening is very high. Cause you know their brains were bigger, but their communication skills were a lot less. Their communication was to fight, and mm-hmm. nigga, the strongest survive.
Good point, right? And we got different martial arts. Y'all mentioned gladiators and all that, fighting at the Colosseum and all that kind of stuff. I wonder what kind of styles that they they use, right?
Greco-Roman
or whatever, right?
I would think that would have to be, like, well, think about their body. About their body types. The average Neanderthal that they found back in them days was 5'7", roughly 200 pounds. So a little bolder of a person, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to come at you, obviously, you know, swinging for the fences or nothing like that. Well, I bet you didn't think about the type of injuries that were found upon them. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure that it was a lot of like head-on collisions, and probably they were slamming each other and probably fucking knocking each other out, definitely.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe they were just dazing each other, and that was as far as it went because they were fucking dumb and they just didn't have the complexity to understand what a knockout was. So they would keep trying to fight back, keep trying to fight back. And that's how you end up with injuries like severe as they had, I think.
So let's kind of jump to like competitive fighting, if you will. First of all, some arts. I think obviously every martial art is cool, but obviously Asian arts, you know, martial arts that formed in countries in Asia, to me, fascinate me. Obviously, when you think of the Kung Fu, when you think of Japanese martial arts, like
there's
karate,
this place,
right?
My bad to cut you
That's
off.
That's cool, man.
There's this place in Thailand that I was watching some film on, and these motherfuckers, like, so there's no such thing as a knockout until the person basically is unable, because you can knock the person down. The ref can stop it and everything, jump in there and tell them, all right, it's over. And then what happens is out there, there's this, I mean, I don't even know. It's a certain, like a competition or something, a certain competitive fighting that they do where you get knocked out, but you can get, they give you 2 minutes where you get revived and you can go right back
in. League or?
I don't fucking know, but they had their hands wrapped up. They were in Thailand,
kickboxing.
It was probably Muay Thai? I would say hardcore like nigga ass Muay Thai. Like you can get knocked out in during competition, and what happens is the ref will give you 2 minutes for the corner to revive
you.
I've seen
a Muay Thai kickboxing match.
But he was done. Like in a normal fight, the dude was done. But he came back out and finished the other dude. Like he won. So you gotta think like, damn, our fights ending too early where we're at.
That's ridiculous. Come on, man. That's crucial, bro. A lot of money is on
CTE.
The line. It's more business, obviously, with these sophisticated UFC and all that. It's a lot of money on the line, man. You gotta make sure you sign a contract with them. You gotta make sure that you can be ready for the next fight and all that and whatnot. So definitely, man.
More of a business point of view. Yeah, you don't usually like to get into organizations like that if you're looking for any type of longevity, for sure. You know.
Okay. We gotta get Kells involved in this. This brother is quiet. Like a motherfucker. Look like
what is he doing? What are you doing?
Damn phone, right? So, Kel, man, let's just get down to it. I want you to speak your mind, bruh, about who do you think are your top fighters?
Shit, let me see. I got Bruce Lee.
Of course, you're going to say that.
Hey, you know.
Got to say Bruce Lee.
Muhammad.
Okay.
You know, Mike Tyson. Let's see, you know.
Name somebody that we might not know of, nigga. That nobody will know. I'll pull some fucking names out, nigga.
I don't be watching all that MMA, you know. You know, there's people that do the mixed martial arts and stuff. Some people are actors, but some people, you know, they really do it. One, Michael J. White.
He's really got some background.
I saw a song with Michael J. White. I don't know if it's Jay or Jai.
Jay.
And he said that, you know, that he can beat Bruce Lee. Some people, I'm pretty sure a lot of people got offended and all that. Oh, it was like, no way. And I'm like, first of all, I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan. Bruce Lee, I'm a Sagittarius like Bruce Lee.
Me too.
And in numerology, he was a 7 for Christ's sake. So what Bruce Lee was advocating for martial arts and modern martial arts, how he felt a need to improve and get better and all that. I feel the same way about hip hop. So I can relate to him in my own little way. But I just want to be realistic, you know, and some people say, oh, size doesn't matter and And I'll stop
and
it.
That's the reason stop. Why his size does matter to a certain extent. And that's the reason why they're that.
People say size doesn't matter. Stop it.
Oh, no, it does. Mm-hmm. It does. And that's the reason why there's weight class.
Right.
That's the reason for that. Now, to a certain extent, it doesn't. If you have like back in the, you know, mm-hmm. old UFC tapes, if you've ever sit and watched them yeah. back when Gracie was just making mm-hmm. fools tap, like he's only 160 pounds walking around mm-hmm. and you see him in there fighting Bob Sapp, right. making Bob Sapp, you know, a big six, four, six, five, mm-hmm. you know, big dude, like big. Cockstrong mother, like big mm-hmm. dude, you feel me? He's in there making them dudes tap out. So to a certain extent, and depending on the amount of training that you have, and depending on the amount of training the other person has, you can really dictate what happens.
We talk about these guys, their style of fight, like Michael J. White compared to Bruce Lee, and Michael, they're both stand up fighters. They're not submissive guys. You know, they don't just take you down on the ground and submit to you. They don't do that, right?
I mean,
they're just head up, and I just don't see.
But they're for a weakness, though. So if they see weakness in you where they can right. get a hold of your arm, and what are you going to do now?
And then obviously, Michael J. White isn't just some big black dude who can just fight. No, he has intelligence. He has quickness. Obviously, he's getting a little older now. He has power, all that. All just these combinations. Different things. He knows all kind of different arts. He knows when and where to strike you. He knows precision, science of it, all that. The guy is an intelligent brother, and he knows his stuff.
Well, there's a reason for weight class. Yes, Michael J. White would beat Bruce Lee, and I'm a Bruce Lee fan too. I love Bruce Lee, and we're about the same size, nigga. You feel me? Like I even try to mimic some of the shit that he does. Right. You can't though, cause he's still who he is. Like right. there's a reason why he was Bruce Lee. The nigga, you feel me? He's an elite human.
Okay, now we talk about UFC. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Mixed martial arts, unique fighting.
The ultimate fight competition, nigga. Ultimate fight contender. Whatever one. Yes, there's a lot of different.
Check this out.
There's a lot of different ones for it. The contender, you know, that happens every so often. That's just the show for breaking on.
Right. I don't think John Jones gets enough recognition.
Serious?
I don't think so.
I think he gets the right amount of recognition that he deserves.
I don't think he gets enough. I think he deserves a little bit more recognition, a little bit more hype. But what I see is, you know, what's that guy's name? McGregor?
Yeah.
He gets a lot of attention.
Right.
And
but you have to understand, too, that John Jones had that scandal where he was, you know, getting caught up with the cocaine. And plus,
you saw right into my trap.
Plus, beyond the cocaine thing, you know, mm-hmm. he was also getting involved with the performance-enhancing drugs, tainted supplements, right. this and that and that. It was just a lot of things that were going on with John Jones where it kind of, in my opinion, it kind of did mess with his legacy a little bit, in my opinion, just because you don't want to be known for cheating in any type of way. Now, cocaine isn't a performance-enhancing drug by any means. So the cocaine, like, in my opinion, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It didn't affect his performance. Like, it was just something he was doing because it was, you know, what he wanted to do. He's a grown-ass man. He bought it. It's his. So
recreational.
But recreational, yeah. So it was his. But as far as the performance enhancing and all that, like, I feel like everybody, you know, should be held accountable for that because everybody's in there with the same mentality. We're all just trying to fight and do it cleanly and get out and go home. And when you're somebody who is on performance enhancing, it kind of is a cheat for other people who are not that way.
Because no doubt about that.
The healing, it's just, they're able to train much more, you know, like, bro, they're able to train more and then and heal faster. You know what I'm saying? And be able to, it's kind of.
All right. Good points. You're right. I agree with that. It's cheating. You're using performance enhancement drugs, you're cheating. Point blank, period. And
Conor didn't use performance. If anything, he's the most tested UFC on the roster. Yeah,
and you know, Conor
Clayton.
Conor obviously got into some legal trouble. You know what I'm saying?
He's a fighter. What do you expect?
He's fighting people who don't fight.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's where you start draw the line. But I mean, you have to understand
that's not a bully. That's not cowardly.
That's just going over.
To a that's certain, not cowardly. You know what I'm saying? Like, that incident, whatever, he punched that dude at a bar. You know what I'm saying? At a bar.
All right, but drunk. Listen,
you couldn't knock out that one dude, though.
Did you hear the story behind that?
You couldn't knock out that one dude who
made
him tap.
He didn't knock
the
person out. But did you get...
But you can knock somebody out who don't train and fight. Right, listen, he looked like an older guy, too.
He was. But did you guys hear the story behind it? So, okay. Supposedly, did you guys hear the story behind it? Did you or not? I really want to know.
What you got?
All right, so supposedly, he went into a pub and, nigga, he ordered everybody drinks. He said, everybody have this bottle, everybody can get a shot of this bottle on me. And the old man was like, I'm not drinking that shit. Mm-hmm. He said, what do you mean? Everybody wants to drink with me. I'm Conor McGregor, so and so on. You feel me? Like, basically, and then the dude kind of like, shrubbed him, like, mm-hmm. treated him like, nigga, so what? Mm-hmm. And he punched him. He didn't have to do that. But you have to think, like, it was uncalled for. But what the dude did, would he have done that to somebody else, regular, who would have came in and offered him a shot? Or since this dude is Conor McGregor, he knows he's Conor McGregor. Like, nigga, he's just happy to be who he is. Ain't no, nigga, he's happy to be Conor McGregor. What's the problem with that? Nigga, you got to be happy with who you are.
Going around knocking niggas out on the
street. But yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying. And you listen, that's not what I'm saying. You can't go around knocking niggas out. But what I'm saying is that man was probably a little bit wrong too. We can all admit to that. You don't talk to people a certain way, especially you could just say, you know what, I'm good. I don't really like it. I'm straight. Kept it at that. But how he said it.
I don't know what the law is in England or wherever he's from.
Ireland.
Right?
Ireland.
I don't know the laws, but I know in the United States, right? If you are a licensed fighter, you can't just be going off taking off on people like that.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying? Your ass can do some time or get fined or something like that.
That's true. He did. He got fined.
It happened to him too, right? So, come on, man. You got to be responsible as a fighter, as a professional too. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he really thought that through. You know what I'm saying? But bro, you can't let your emotions get the best of you. Some guy at a bar. Stop him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they still hyping this dude up. They act as if... It don't even matter.
I like it. He's one of my favorites.
And then Carol's mentioned, like, oh, I didn't even know about that. I bet if John Jones
really didn't know
if John
that.
Jones would have did some shit like that, we wouldn't know about it.
Hey,
did you know that John Jones that they got him for cocaine and all that and stuff? Did you know about that? Did you know that he was on HGH? Did you know that?
Who got in trouble for that?
I just want you to answer that. Carol.
Nah, I think
you didn't know that.
But okay, HGH isn't. I don't think you don't get tested. Hey, I don't think you get tested for HGH. I don't think you get tested for HGH.
Roy Jones Jr. knocking that nigga up on the street.
Oh, yeah?
You can take HGH, yeah.
Didn't they say that he got what?
No, performance enhancing. There's a difference. A tainted supplement. All right, performance enhancing is different. HGH just makes more room, I think, for your organs to grow faster at a faster pace so that you can... It does something.
I'm on the Kells to say, what was you going to say? My bad, bro.
I was saying, like, the nigga, who was it? Roy Jones Jr., who knocked the nigga out by the, Mandalay Bay or MGM, just on the strip, out of nowhere, just knocked the nigga out.
When was this?
I couldn't have been out of nowhere.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
It was like a couple years ago. You could look it up. Like a couple years ago, he knocked somebody out on the strip.
Why do people be so surprised when fighters are knocking people out? This is what the fuck they do for a living. Okay. Watch how you talk to them. Watch how you say to them. Especially if you know who they are.
McGregor had two cases.
Bro, but you can't just be talking to people in that type of way.
I didn't hear about that, so I don't know. I may take your word for it, but I ain't never heard about that.
You can't just talk to people in that type of way. You know these niggas, what they do. Niggas wouldn't walk up on Mike Tyson and say nothing to him.
You're going to have to show proof of that, but...
Maybe they would walk up to
But
him.
All I'm saying is all this hype McGregor is, and y'all know where I'm going with that. It's clear. And then I don't really like that Dana White dude. You know, it's like I don't really like him. He pick and choose who he wants to hype up. He pick and choose who he wants to endorse. Y'all know where I'm getting at, but I don't want to get there, but y'all know where I'm getting at. But anyway, so
yeah, I feel like you're right about that.
These top fighters of UFC. They don't want it to erupt, right? But I don't want to get there. So, all right, let's talk about this talk about people been talking about for years, right? If you got them into a UFC match, right? Mixed martial arts match. That's just pretty much you can do whatever, right? Let's take Jackie Chan and Jet Li. Who you got?
Jet Li.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm going to say Jackie Chan. And the reason being, because Jackie's a little bigger than people would think he is.
Yeah, he's
pretty stout Asian dude.
He's 5'8", 5'9", right?
No, he's 5'11".
Really?
Yes, he's a pretty fucking big, he's not your average Asian. And he, you know, yeah, I feel like
much shorter than Chris Tucker in the movie.
So and yeah. Jet Li, you know, he's a little smaller. He's a smaller frame, smaller guy. I feel like
he's a little shorter than Bruce Lee.
Yeah, if he get if Jet Li, I mean, if he gets a hold of him, then I don't. I feel like he'll probably get him to. He'll make him tap out.
But I tell you this though, Jet Li is. It's hard to catch him slipping. Jet Li, it looks like even with you know, when I watch him fight in the movies, he's a good counter fighter. He's a good counter puncher. You know what I'm saying? He'd be ducking, dodging, bobbing and weaving.
But I ain't gonna lie. I give it to Jackie Chan, though, too, because that nigga does his own moves, you know?
And if you really pay attention, majority of Asian fighters come accustomed to being more of your defensive fighter. Like, they're more better on when they're standing on the back of their heels and then you're running at them, nigga. Like, I've noticed, like, majority of your Asian population is they're more better under stress and when you get close to putting it out with them. You feel me? Like, that's when they be the most dangerous, nigga. They work really well under pressure. 100%, bro. Like, if you look at some of the best that are out there, like Korean Zombie, you feel me? You got Leo Tomichita. He's fucking Brazilian. But you got fucking, what's the other ones? There's a couple other ones that are just real poise. You can't really, you don't get a facial change out of them. Like, you can't, nigga, you could be beating their ass, bro, and their face does not change, nigga. It's not, nigga, their facial, you know how you could be kicking on somebody and they'll, like, tighten up, their face will change. Mm-hmm. Nigga, you don't get that with them. You don't get that, bro. Yeah. So, I mean, besides the good chin, good body, good everything, you don't, like, they just, for some reasons, they're defensive. They've, maybe it's part of the training methods that they're doing. Like, nigga, they'll get there and let the coaches punch them 1,000 times in their abs. You feel me? And by the end of it, they can't feel their stomach. They wake up in the morning.
Yeah, they do that. I think they do that with Muay Thai. Yeah. They numb your shins and your forearms, yeah, right? They numb that shit.
And your elbows, too.
Your elbows, yeah. Okay.
Elbow training, everything.
So, all right. Let's switch it over to a little bit of boxing questions, right? Is Floyd Mayweather Jr. the greatest or one of the greatest boxers ever?
Who?
Floyd Mayweather
Jr. You said Izzy?
Is he the greatest or one of the greatest boxers ever?
He's one of them.
You can't really say, I don't think he's the best. I think he's like Steph Curry. He came and he changed up the game of boxing. Like, people were more, it's more like, it's a different, you, like, if you watch boxing from Roy Jones, if you watch a tape from Roy Jones Jr. and you watch a tape from fucking Floyd Mayweather, just the time period of it, it just, even boxers that you'll see how they're and maybe that could be, you know, the weight class too. I can't, the difference, you know what I'm saying? Because Roy Jones Jr. is a little bigger, whatever. But even dudes in the weight class, it's the whole boxing, the game of boxing changed all the way around. Like, you got heavyweights that are, you don't have heavyweights that are like, shaped like Mike Tyson no more. You got tall, big, gargantuan ass fucking, you know, dudes. You don't got too many Mike Tysons no more. The whole game of boxing just changed. Everything changed.
Mike Tyson was rare anyway because he was too damn short to be fighting heavyweights any damn way, in my opinion.
He was pretty small. He didn't weigh too.
He had short arms and all that. So,
wasn't that heavy?
With that question with Mayweather, first of all, I didn't even ask the question with Jackie Chan or Jet Li or whatever. I probably would have to take Jackie Chan. Okay, with Floyd Mayweather, it's really hard. I ain't gonna lie. It's really hard. That's a really hard question for me. I would say the latest generation, this generation that we're in now, this time of age, 21st century, I got to say, greatest fighter right now. But overall, putting him in with the other greats, that's hard for me to do, you know.
At their prime.
Great defensive fighter, as we know. He was more aggressive when early in his career. It seemed like when his dad was training him, he was a little bit more aggressive. And then when he broke away from his dad, kind of changed his fighting style. That's what it seems to me. What I witnessed. I think his most impressive fight was probably Judah, honestly. You wouldn't think of Judah as this great fighter, but Judah kind of brought him out of his element, and then he came on top. Sugar Shane Mosley kind of brought him out of his low comfort zone just a little bit, for a few rounds.
You want to know what people don't understand, and what's going to shock you probably. What's even. Up? Nobody touched Mayweather as many times as Conor McGregor did.
That's a good point.
Nobody.
That's a really good point.
Nobody touched him as many times as Conor did. That was his first.
Yeah.
Well, no. Let me say that. It wasn't his first pro boxing debut, but against somebody of that caliber.
Conor McGregor made him an aggressor. He made him an aggressor. Like, he was...
No,
he
wasn't Conor fighting. Was the aggressor at the beginning, and then he waited for Conor to get tired because Conor is only used to going five...
I don't know. That's not what
He's only used to going five...
I agree with you. Conor McGregor did get tired.
Faster.
But Conor McGregor wasn't really that active throughout the whole fight anyway. But Conor McGregor was doing...
From one to three, he was kind of getting the best of Mayweather.
The way Conor McGregor was fighting...
towards like four and to the...
I probably got to go back and watch the fight, but for some reason... This is what I saw. I saw that Floyd Mayweather was really aggressive. Like, he was uncharacteristically aggressive. I felt. And that kept him open.
Against Mayweather? I mean, against McGregor?
Yes.
Nah, I don't know about that. Man.
Okay. It didn't look like that.
There
was a part when, you know, he low blowed him, but that looked very close to a body blow. You know what I'm saying? That didn't look like no low blow to me. I don't know. But that shook him up. But, you know, that fight was unique because you just expect for Floyd Mayweather to come on top. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, and he did. And anybody that was expecting anything other than that probably didn't know so much about, you know, like, when I was watching it, I kind of, like, even before, I knew that Mayweather was going to pull it off, bro. Like, because you had to think about it like this. Mayweather hadn't lost. He's the best in his sport. And McGregor has lost in his sport, within his own sport already. He's not the best in his sport. So for him to come from where he's at, you know, and then try to jump and go for the neck of the best in boxing, you feel me? It was like you had to have known he wasn't going to win that. But he came and he hit him more times than anybody else on record, nigga. Mm-hmm. On record. He hit him more times than any other professional boxer that he went. Nigga, that means Manny Pacquiao. That means how many other fucking people did Mayweather went through? He wiped out everybody in his division.
I gotta put some boxers over. First of all, to me, boxing was at its peak to me in the 80s. When you got those middleweights. Yeah, Mike Tyson.
Heavyweights. You know what I'm saying?
But, heavyweights. Okay, we run out of time. Probably to be continued, y'all. But hey, this is Freedom of Mind, y'all.
Speak your mind.
How does it feel to be free now? Come back for more Freedom of Mind.